Gopi Janna Balaba Gadavadha Hari. Gopi Janna Balaba Gadavadha Hari. Yamuna Tira Vanachariya Yamuna Tira Vanachariya Jaya Rara Marhava Kunjaviha
Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Prabhuraja Gachara Satir Sita Shri Shrimati Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai Srimad Bhagavatama Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaura Premananda. All glorious to some of the devotees, all glorious to some of the devotees, all glorious to some of the devotees, all glorious to Shri Guru and Shri Garanga. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Mastai Bhadade Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasatadeem Gauravani Pacharani Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Prasthachari Sitarani. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Do we have the... Nothing? Oh. Okay, no verse today, so I'll just read it. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 10, Text 33, Chapter of Deliverance of the Amal Arjuna Trees. So, Text 33. Tasmai tubhyam bhagavate vasudevaya vedhase atmajyota gunaischana mahimne brahmane namaha. Tasmai, because you are not to be understood from the material platform, we simply offer obeisances unto him. Tubhyam, unto you. Bhagavate, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vasudevaya, unto Vasudev, the original Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Aniruddha. Vedhase, unto the origin of creation. Atma Jyota Gunai Chana Mahimne, unto you whose glories are covered by your personal energy. Brahmane, unto the Supreme Brahman, Nama, our respectful obeisances. Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. O Lord, whose glories are covered by your own energy, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are Sankarshan, the origin of creation, and you are Vasudev, the origin of the Chaturvyuha. Because you are everything, and therefore the Supreme Brahman, we simply offer our respectful obeisances. Report. Instead of trying to understand Krishna in detail, it is better to offer our respectful obeisances unto him, for he is the origin of everything, and he is everything. Because we are covered by the material modes of nature, he is very difficult for us to understand unless he reveals himself to us. Therefore, it is better for us to acknowledge that he is everything, and offer obeisances unto his lotus feet. Om Jnana Devarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurlimitamina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpatirubhischa Kribasindavyevacha Patitano Pavanebhyo Vaishnavyevyo Namo Namaha. So this verse in purport continues a little bit some of the same ideas that were in yesterday's verse in purport, discussing how God is not so easily seen. Krishna can only be seen as he reveals himself to us. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada is saying here in the verse, is saying, it is better to simply try to serve him, offer obeisances unto him, than try to artificially try to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavad Gita 7:25 says, I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. So again, the Bhagavad Gita is confirming that it's not so easy to see Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why? Because he is actually covered. It is not that it is simply a matter of some type of practical exploration or scientific investigation that one would be able to see the Supreme Personality, that one would actually be able to see God. No, rather, he remains hidden by his own will. In other words, he covers himself from those who are ignorant and those who are not faithful. Example is given of the clouds and the sun. Krishna is like the sun, and the clouds are like his material energy. The clouds are actually created by the sun. As the sun evaporates water off the ocean or another the body of water, a cloud is created. And that cloud then covers the vision of human beings or anyone to be able to see the sun. So the sun is covered, just like Krishna is covered, but it's by his own energy, by his own potency. So Krishna, through his material energy or external energy, covers himself so that he is not seen by, as the Bhagavad Gita says, the foolish and unintelligent. So we have to have the vision to be able to see Krishna. It cannot be done in a material way. And because our eyes are now covered by material contamination, by the material energy, they need to be cleansed or purified. So Prabhupada explained this in the teachings of Lord Kapila in one purport. He said, if we are devotees, lovers of God, the ointment of love will clear our eyes. In order to see God, we have to cleanse our eyes by wiping away the cataracts of material contamination. Although we may be eager to see God, we cannot see him with these material eyes. So this is the difficulty with the materialists. They may wish to see God, or they may say, even challenge, and say, show me God. And Prabhupada would often mention this. They say, show me God, but they do not have the qualification. They do not have the eyes to see. So even if we say yes, we can actually say yes, here is God. But do they have the vision? Do we have the vision to be able to see, yes, this is God? So Krishna can be seen, but not through material eyes. We have to have that spiritual vision and purification to be able to have that transcendental vision. So how do we purify the eyes? How do we act in such a way or perform activities of purification in such a way that we will be able to understand God or understand Krishna? Well, the Prabhupada would often say that we act in such a way that Krishna will see us. And he, of course, quoted from his spiritual master. This is from one of his lectures on the Bhagavad Gita, 10.1. Prabhupada said, we have to cultivate such practice in Krishna consciousness that we may become dear to God. My spiritual master used to say, you do not try to see God, just act in such a way that God will see you. If you want to see God, and I make God as my order suppliers, that please come and I will see you. God is not so small that at once I call him and he'll come. No, we have to qualify ourselves. Therefore, by your qualification, God will himself come and see you. So it is not that God cannot be seen, but God will be seen when he reveals himself to us, and he will reveal himself to us when we become qualified through our devotional service. So the devotee is not even really so interested in this idea of how do I see God, but really more interested in developing the mood of devotional service that purifies one and qualifies one. So this, of course, purifying process is described in many verses in the last verse of the 11th chapter, and of course, 1855, I think, which was not quoted in yesterday's purport. Yeah, Srila Prabhupada quoted Bhagavad Gita 1855, Bhakti Amam Abhijananti, Yavanyas Chasmi Tattataha Tatomam Tattato Gyatva Fishate Tadanantaram. One can understand me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. So over and over, Krishna gives us the very easy answer, very simple answer. you want to understand God, you want to see God, you want to have some realization of God, you simply have to serve him. You simply have to take up this process of bhakti yoga, a devotional service, to be able to have the revelation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In a purport, 1152, Srila Prabhupada explains this a little more. He says, Krishna is covered by his yoga maya potency. He is not to be seen or revealed to anyone and everyone. Only by one to whom he reveals himself can he be seen. This is confirmed in the Vedic literature. For one who is a surrendered soul, the absolute truth can actually be understood. The transcendentalist, by continuous Krishna consciousness and by devotional service to Krishna, can have his spiritual eyes open and can see Krishna by revelation. I always thought this was an interesting word, revelation. Of course, the Christians use this word a lot. We don't use it so much, but it is a word that's commonly used in spiritual circles or religious circles. And it's the word revelation, very simply, you know, comes from the word reveal. It means that God is revealed. You know, of course, Srila Prabhupada would often talk about the different types of knowledge, of descending knowledge and ascending knowledge, deductive, inductive, and experimental knowledge, but it's based upon hearing from the scriptures. So we understand of different ways of knowing that actually all of the different ways that we think that we can understand things within this material world are somewhat flawed or contaminated. And of course, Srila Prabhupada talks about the four defects that are inherent in all living entities. So it's very difficult for, by our own means, our own senses, our own intelligence, and our own endeavors to try to understand something as sublime and transcendental as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the entire spiritual world. But Krishna does reveal it to us. And of course, it is revealed through the scriptures, is one way that Krishna is revealed. We have the writings, we have the Srimad Bhagavatam, we have the Bhagavad Gita, we have so many transcendental writings where Krishna either speaks directly, as he does in the Bhagavad Gita, or he speaks through his great disciple, through his great devotees and surrendered souls, like in the Srimad Bhagavatam, spoken by Shukadeva Goswami. So, in so many ways, Krishna is actually showing himself and revealing himself. So we sometimes talk about scriptures are sometimes called revealed scriptures. Revealed means that it is knowledge that could not be understood materially through material intelligence, but is actually revealed spiritually directly by the supreme spiritual source, the Personality of Godhead. And therefore, even though we are very, very limited, our mind, our intelligence is very limited, especially in Kali Yuga, you know, all of our abilities to be able to understand spiritual knowledge, to perform any type of austerity or meditation or anything like this is very, very limited. So even though we have very, and especially in Kali Yuga, those of us, many of us here were born in this Western world where we had no knowledge of spiritual life. And we were filled with so many bad habits, so much contamination, not only from this lifetime, but from many, many lifetimes. But even in such a state, we are able to get a little glimpse or a little bit of understanding of who Krishna is and what spiritual life is and what is the meaning of life and the absolute truth because Krishna is so kind that he reveals that to us. So that service, of course, begins with service to Krishna and Guru, and it's through Krishna and through the Guru jointly that one is able to begin this process of understanding spiritual life. From the Sutashvatara Upanishad, Yasya Devi Para Bhaktir Yata Deva Tathagarau, Yashaiti Kativa Hyarta Prakasanta Mahatmana. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. So here it is saying that it is not so much a matter of knowledge or austerity or intense study, but through faith in Guru and faith in Krishna, that spiritual knowledge is revealed. And thus we see that many, many devotees from any background, whether they were great intellectuals or academicians or not, as most of, you know, we are able to have some understanding of Krishna consciousness, some realization and some depth of actual knowing Krishna. Not that we know everything about Krishna, not that we are, you know, so proficient perhaps in the Vedic knowledge, but we are beginning to understand the basics of Krishna consciousness, of our spiritual relation with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because we have a little bit of faith, a little bit of faith in the instructions of the spiritual master and in Krishna's words. And from that beginning of faith, then everything develops. Of course, we know in the process of the devotional service, begin with Shraddha, begin with faith. You know, from faith, then one begins to associate with devotees, take up the processes of devotional service, clear those past anartas, those unwanted thoughts and contaminations from the past, and eventually become steady in Krishna consciousness, develop some taste, and ultimately bhava, prema, and pure devotional service. So this is the process that's given to us by the scriptures of how we, even as small, insignificant, covered souls, can take up this process and begin to understand Krishna. Prabhupada quoted also in yesterday's verse, the Sevan Mukhi Jivadao verse, very, very important. Prabhupada quotes this hundreds of times throughout his work. It's mentioned, it's quoted in full in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, but actually comes from the Bhaktivedanta Sindhu, which quotes it from the Padma Purana. So anyway, kind of one of those, you have to go back about four steps to find the original verse. Yatak Sri Krishna Namadi Nabhave Grayam Indrayai Sevan Mukhi Hijivada Swayam Eva Sparatyada. Therefore, material senses cannot appreciate Krishna's holy name, forms, qualities, and pastimes. When a conditioned soul is awakened to Krishna consciousness and renders service by using his tongue to chant the Lord's holy name and taste the remnants of the Lord's food, the tongue is purified, and one gradually comes to understand who Krishna really is. So again, the process of bhakti yoga beginning with the tongue, beginning with chanting Hare Krishna and taking prasadam. So this is how we begin our process of spiritual life, and this is how we try to help others to begin their process of spiritual life, by hearing the chanting of the holy name, by distributing prasadam. Because it's described in the scriptures that these very, very simple processes are purifying first to the tongue, which of course is the most important sense in many ways, and through the purification of the tongue, all the other senses and the body are become purified, and as it's described, one is able to gradually understand who Krishna is. So, of course, this may take some time. It's a process of bhakti, perhaps a lifetime process, perhaps for some of us, several lifetimes process. But nevertheless, we are gradually beginning to become purified and to understand Krishna. Krishna, of course, is very, very kind, and the spiritual master is very kind. And we often get some taste or some glimpse or some revelation of Krishna, even in our neophyte stage. This is, I think, one of the wonderful things of Krishna consciousness. Probably if every one of us sort of told our story of how we came to Krishna consciousness or understood when we became convinced of this philosophy and actually took up the practice, at some point, probably every one of us experienced some transcendental feeling. We experienced some taste of Krishna consciousness. And we can see this. Sometimes even new people who've never even seen Krishna consciousness, they may come to a festival, they may come to a Rath Yatra, and they get caught up in the chanting of Hare Krishna, and they actually gain a great taste for it. They become a little bit ecstatic. They become so enthusiastic, even though they know almost nothing about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Well, this is a very important principle. It's not a material thing. It's not just that they like the music or had a nice rhythm, because there's so much music out there. There's all types of music for every possible taste. There's all sorts of festivals and activities and things that are going on in this material world. No, when one comes in contact with Krishna consciousness, it is an altogether different thing. It is a completely different experience because it is on the transcendental level, not the material level. And therefore, the awakening of the consciousness begins. The purification of the heart begins. And one begins to actually have a little bit of glimmer. A little bit of light is shining. And the spirit soul begins to wake up. No, this is my real life. This is actually who I am. And so that recognition somewhere deep within us begins. And then as we take more and more to the process of Krishna consciousness, and particularly as we start following the instructions of the spiritual master and following the principles and the regulations of sadhana bhakti, it begins more and more. So this immediate taste that we get, and it's something that we need to remember, because sometimes later as we continue in Krishna consciousness, we may forget that, or it may become a little bit dimmed. But I mentioned it just at the end of the last week's class, of this para attachment or shadow attachment. There's actually even another technical term for it. It's called chaya reti abhasa. Got that? A little bit of quiz on this. Chaya reti abhasa. This is from the Bhakti Samrita de Sindhu, actually 1349. And Prabhupada also explains it in the Nectar Devotion somewhat. And this chaya reti abhasa means it's an immediate taste that's given to by Krishna to the neophyte devotee. And Jiva Goswami actually explains in his commentaries on this that if one, sometimes they even mention, comes to a festival or has contact with devotees or hears the chanting of the holy name, that one might get this great taste for Krishna consciousness and might actually experience some spiritual happiness, some spiritual ecstasy. And it's actually under the descriptions of different types of bhava. So it's considered a type of bhava, which we know is a very, very high state where one has to be practically pure to be able to experience bhava. Now, the downside to it is it's also described by Jiva Goswami that it's unstable. It's temporary. It may not last. So we gain some taste for Krishna consciousness in the beginning, and maybe even we experience from time to time. We'll be in ecstatic kirtan or performing some devotional service. And often we feel very close to Krishna, or we feel Krishna's mercy. So that's real. It is actually a real taste that's been given to us by Krishna. But sometimes we may notice that the next day we don't feel quite so ecstatic. That's the difference between this type of chaya rati abhasa and real rati, or of course real bhava, that is more permanent. That remains. When one is actually at the stage of bhava, then of course one is at this all the time. One is always experiencing Krishna in that way. So it may be somewhat flickering or a little bit unstable for us. But nevertheless, we have to remember that Krishna and the spiritual master, it's also in reflection to the spiritual master as well. The spiritual master's purity and his stage of devotional service is something that also is reflected on us. And then that's the para attachment, you know. But nevertheless, it is real, and we do have these experiences, and we need to more or less cultivate and remember these and try to, not that we try to necessarily say, oh, I want to be ecstatic and happy all the time, because we know that's not reality. The reality of being in this material world is that there's happiness and distress, even for devotees. We discuss this many times, of course, that happiness and distress may be there. But nevertheless, one continues in devotional service, despite whatever difficulties or whatever problems are, knowing that there's also that happiness that is there in Krishna consciousness. When one takes up Krishna consciousness, and this is described in the Nectar Devotion, that even at the stage of sadhana, even for the more neophyte devotee, one of the characteristics of devotional service is that it relieves one of all distress. So that is this great burden of being in the material world is lifted from us. So we can understand that whatever distress we may be feeling is not due to past karma. We are directly in the hands of the Lord, and it is part of our process of bhakti, of devotional service. So the real distress is taking birth again. The real distress is experiencing birth, death, disease, and old age. The real distress is forgetting our relationship with Krishna. That is the real anxiety, the real distress of the soul, that it has lost connection with Krishna. But once that connection is regained via the agency of linking with the spiritual master in the disciplic succession, you know, then one's life is changed permanently. And one has every opportunity to experience the full happiness of Krishna consciousness. And it's described that this gradually will come about, that gradually, with the performance of bhakti and sadhana, then Krishna gradually reveals himself to us more and more. And Krishna reveals himself in many ways. It's not that necessarily that one day that we're going to wake up and Krishna, in his threefold bending form, as Shama Sundar, is going to be standing in front of us and be speaking with us. That will happen someday. Actually, in the Madhurya Kandambani, that Bhishma Chakravarti Thakur explains the process of how Krishna reveals himself. First, I think, through all the different senses. I don't know if anyone remembers that. You know, that first one will smell the fragrance of Krishna. Then one will, you know, start, one will hear Krishna's flute. Then one will see Krishna. So, but that's for very advanced devotees. So, some future lifetime, I can hope to experience that. But for now, at least, that we can begin to experience Krishna's revelation to us in many, many ways. And often Krishna reveals himself to us through the devotees. You know, often it's our experiences and our interactions with devotees, if they're positive, negative, or whatever, that we begin to understand Krishna's working. So whatever our experiences are and whatever happens to us, we can understand that these are all different ways that Krishna is revealing himself. And he may be revealing himself through knowledge. He may reveal himself through scriptures. And when had that experience of sometime you have some question or doubt or consideration, you pick up a book and open it random and somehow the purport seems to speak to you. That happens, you know. Many, many ways that Krishna reveals himself and is always helping his devotee to advance in Krishna consciousness. So we have to be alert to that. And we also have to, I think what so many of these verses and purports we've been reading today are saying is that we have to enthusiastically perform the process of bhakti yoga, perform our sadhana and our service in such a way that Krishna becomes attracted. When Krishna sees, you know, such nice service, actually it's described that Radharani appreciates our service and she will recommend us to Krishna. Oh, see this nice devotee is performing such wonderful devotional service. And then, of course, Krishna notices a little bit. So that was the idea that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj was saying, don't try to see Krishna, but work in such a way that Krishna will see you. We can increase that process of devotional service and purification and understanding Krishna if that service is done with enthusiasm and with eagerness. So sometimes we may feel a little lethargic or a little discouraged or not so fired up about our devotional service, but actually that's a self-defeating process or a self-defeating mentality. Sometimes devotees would say to Srila Prabhupada, how do we become enthusiastic? And Prabhupada said, you become enthusiastic by acting enthusiastic. Very simple. You know, be enthusiastic, act enthusiastic, and what happens is that enthusiasm comes about. It becomes a reality within our heart. So Krishna sees that even though we may be struggling a little bit, we're trying to work with enthusiasm, and, you know, then he actually gives us that impetus. And he'll create that impetus and that enthusiasm within the heart. The Nectar Devotion, Chapter 18, Prabhupada says, when one is sufficiently eager to achieve success in devotional service, that eagerness is called samutkanta. This means complete eagerness. Actually, this eagerness is the price of achieving success in Krishna consciousness. Everything has some value, and one has to pay the value before obtaining or possessing it. It is stated in the Vedic literature that to purchase the most valuable thing, Krishna consciousness, one has to develop intense eagerness for achieving success. Related verse in the Nectar of Instruction about enthusiasm, endeavor executed with intelligence in Krishna consciousness is called utsaha, or enthusiasm. The devotees find the correct means by which everything can be utilized in the service of the Lord. The execution of devotional service is not a matter of idle meditation, but practical action in the foreground of spiritual life. That's one of my favorite lines, Srila Prabhupada says. Devotional service is not a matter of idle meditation, but practical action in the foreground of spiritual life. And who exemplified that better than Srila Prabhupada in terms of practical action? It wasn't a question of sitting and meditating. Prabhupada could have sat and meditated in Vrindavan very happily in his relationship with Krishna and experiencing that wonderful bliss of Krishna consciousness. But rather, he gave us the example and he showed us by his personal example as the acharya of practical action, of coming to the Western world at great personal risk and inconvenience and endeavoring day after day, year after year, to spread Krishna consciousness and to give this great gift of bhakti to the fallen conditioned souls. So obviously we cannot imitate Srila Prabhupada, but we can certainly take his example. We can certainly understand his eagerness to please the Lord and his spiritual master, his enthusiasm to spread Krishna consciousness to all living entities. And if we share a little bit of that, and we take up that example of enthusiasm, eagerness in our own service, whatever it may be, then Krishna certainly becomes pleased and will gradually reveal himself to us little by little. Okay. And at that point, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. So are there any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhupada. First, let me comment on your comment. I really appreciate your appreciation for Srila Prabhupada. Yeah, Srila Prabhupada is one of those once-in-a-lifetime, once-in-generations types of great personalities that appear. And, of course, we know that Srila Prabhupada will remain the founder of Acharya of ISKCON. He'll be the, ultimate, Shiksha Guru and exemplar and leader of our movement for thousands of years to come. So, yes, that's nice realization about Srila Prabhupada's very, very unique position, which will never be surpassed. I mean, even if other great devotees come forward, we will always be, our movement will be based upon Srila Prabhupada's books and instructions. So that's eternal, I guess, as eternal as anything is in the material world, But as far as your comment, as far as your question, which was, what was it again?
Very simple
question
is, can we talk to
deities? Yes, of course we can talk to deities, and the deities will hear us. Now, whether the deities respond and whether we hear that response, that's another question. That's a question of personal advancement and realization. But absolutely, and in fact, this is recommended. Srila Prabhupada gave examples, he said in India, that at the end of the day, the treasurer of the temple would, collect any donations or whatever and come and present them in front of the deities and say, this is for you. So that's talking to the deities, of course. In other words, we offer everything to the deity. Everything that we do is really for Radha Shyama Sundar, Krishna Balarama Gaurini Thai. They are the owners of this. Interesting, also in India, many times the temple, the actual ownership on the land and the temple is in the name of the deity. So in other words, yes, this is a personal movement, and we understand that Krishna is completely 100% non-different than his deity form, being completely transcendental. So for us, it's a very, very nice way of prayer. And, we often don't think so much about prayer because we think about chanting and hearing, remembering. But prayer is one of the nine vandanam, one of the nine processes of devotional service. So it's very, very nice to pray to Krishna and particularly to pray to the deities. So the best way I'd say to talk to the deities is to offer our prayers and our thoughts to the deities. Okay. Anything else? Yeah, Trivikram.
Are there revelation on the
Srila Prabhupada mentioned them as revealed scriptures. He also explained that there's different degrees of knowledge in different scriptures. just like you may have a sixth grade arithmetic book and you may have a college level calculus book. They're both true. The arithmetic book is, you know, is the more simple mathematics is true, but there are some more advanced mathematics. So in the same way, we can understand that things like the Bible and Quran are certainly revealed scriptures, but they explain a certain level of God consciousness. And of course, the Vedic literatures culminating in the Srimad Bhagavatam, explain the highest level of understanding. And it's understood that the other scriptures are meant for time and time, place, and circumstance. You know, to teach a certain, people with a certain consciousness, a certain level of understanding at that particular time and place. Anything else? Okay. Any other questions? Last chance? Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.